Further EU sanctions on Russia come into force in the coming weeks as part of a set of 9 trade and other restrictions imposed since the invasion of Ukraine. The latest measure will take effect next week when a further price cap is imposed on Russian oil and petroleum products. The former Secretary General of the European Commission, David O'Sullivan, has begun his role as the European Union's special envoy for the implementation of EU sanctions. And he joins us now from Brussels. A very good afternoon to you, David O'Sullivan. Welcome to the News at One.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Now, people will recall at the time of the invasion, there was a lot of debate and discussion and action and decisions in relation to imposing sanctions and a lot of talk that they had the potential to bring the Russian economy to its knees. We've a year or more now to assess their impact. Are they making a difference? Are they working?
Yes, I think they very definitely are. As you know, Commissioner McGuinness is responsible for the implementation of sanctions. And when you look at what we've been trying to achieve, three objectives, really. One, to undermine the technological basis of the Russian military by starving them of the technologies needed to develop and to deploy new weapons. And this is working very successfully. Secondly, to deny the Russian state the resources to fund the war. Russian income has been seriously affected through the price cap, for example, on oil. It's costing them about 160 million euros a day. 21 billion euros of assets have been frozen, and many of the assets of the Russian Central Bank have been immobilized. So the ability of the Russian state to continue to fund this war is being seriously undermined. And finally, there has been a really significant impact on the overall economic performance of the Russian economy, which is starved of export opportunities, the ability to import goods it needs. Car production has fallen by 75%. GDP last year fell by about 4%, and OECD figures predict a fall of about 5.6%. So across these three objectives, I think the sanctions are undoubtedly having a very significant impact.
But clearly continued demand around the world for Russian energy products, for its oil and gas, has been very significant in to some extent, helping to underpin the Russian war effort and the Russian economy.
Well, Russia basically has lost its wealthiest and its best customer for its fossil fuels, which was the EU, frankly, Europe. With the price cap, it is now selling at much reduced prices to other importers. But this is the revenue which they are getting is falling all the time. And the decisions which we hope will be taken in the next few days on refined products will further undermine the income which they receive from this source. And of course, the Russian economy is heavily dependent upon this item. And is not much, very diversified into other manufacturing or even service sectors.
So the duty, the responsibility, the task you've been asked to undertake is to report on the implementation of these sanctions. Is there any evidence of significant attempts to bust the sanctions busting? Is that happening at all?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily use the word sanctions busting. I mean, obviously, as we put in place successive layers of sanctions, the focus shifts to making sure that they are being applied by European companies. It's now a criminal offence to avoid or evade sanctions in Europe, but also to make sure that third countries, and we work very closely, of course, with the United States, with the UK, Switzerland, South Korea, Japan, countries who have agreed more or less to follow us in imposing sanctions. But we also want to talk, and that's part of my job in assisting Commissioner McGuinness, is to talk to countries who trade a lot with Russia. And if we see any suspicious spikes in exports from Europe of products which can't go to Russia but which are going to those countries, and then comparable increases in their exports to Russia, then that's something we'd want to talk to those countries about why this is happening and what could be done perhaps to prevent any complicity in the avoidance of sanctions.
Yeah, so I mean, your eyes presumably would be on big economies like India and China, which of course are continuing to do business with Russia.
Well, they're continuing to do business, but we have countries slightly closer to ourselves. We've a country like Turkey, which trades a lot with Russia, the Central Asian countries, and a couple of the Gulf states, such as the UAE. Mm-hmm. So there are you know, quite a number of countries that we probably will want to have conversations with about how their trade is evolving with Russia, and just be sure that this is not in any way contributing to avoidance of the sanctions.
So how closely then will you be monitoring trade between some of those countries and Russia, and monitoring trade flows from the EU into those nations?
Well, no, this is one of our major functions, and the Commission has been doing this. My former colleagues in DG Trade have been very active, as well as the Customs and Taxation. This is a whole of Commission effort. I mean, Commissioner McGuinness, of course, presides over the Financial Services Directorate, which deals a lot with financial flows. But the trade side, the Customs and Taxation side, we're all monitoring very closely the evolution of trade flows to see if there's any suggestion of leakage or avoidance of sanctions. And part of my job will be to reach out to countries where we think this might be happening, and to explore what's really going on, and whether there is action needed to prevent that.
And just a word about the kind of sanctions that are available to the EU for if you do find evidence of that leakage, and European EU companies are implicated. What happens then?
Well, if European companies are implicated, then frankly they are liable, and that is also true of EU nationals. So, if you had EU nationals in these countries who were engaged in activities which could be incompatible with sanctions, they would be personally liable. In terms of the countries, I mean, I think we would hope that while they may not want to align with our sanctions, they certainly would not wish to play a role in taking the side of Russia by allowing for avoidance. So we hope that countries will also contribute to taking steps if we identify problems.
David O'Sullivan, EU Special Envoy for Sanctions on Russia, thanks very much for talking to us.